chapter. That is page 827. Mark chapter 14. We're going to begin reading in verse 17 and read through verse 25 of Mark chapter 14. As we continue to prepare our hearts and our spirits and our minds to come to the altar and receive the elements of communion. Mark 14, beginning in verse 17, and we're all going to read aloud as we read God's Scripture. Let's read. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and to say one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Thank you so much. You can be seated. You know, large meals are oftentimes very disconnected. There may be five different conversations going on at the table at one time. Someone's asking you to pass the cornbread. You hear the clanging of forks on the plates, the banging of glass of ice in the glass. During a family meal is normally not the time that you make a major announcement. And yet, Mark tells us twice, he mentions that they are eating. We read it in verse 18. "And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, 'Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me.'" And then in verse 22, "While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after he broke it, he said to them, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.'" You know, you would think that if Jesus were going to say those things, he might have said it before they ate, or maybe after they ate, when he had their full attention. And yet at this table with 12 hungry men, he made a profound statement. He takes the loaf of bread, he blesses it, and he says to them, "Take, this is my body." Then he takes the goblet that is holding the wine, and as he's passing it around and they're drinking from it, he makes another major announcement. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is shed or poured out for many." I doubt the disciples grasp what Jesus said. I know when we're at the table eating, I can remember one year, I think it must have been in April before Sherry and I were married, I flew up to Baltimore and they had a big meal at her family's, at her parents' house. And they had the kitchen, the dining room table, and then they added a table, and then they added tables. So we're in this long room and there must have been 16 of us in that room, and half of them are Italians, so you know they're talking and doing this and stuff like that, and the other half of us were just Gentiles. But there were all kinds of conversations going on around that table. You know, where are you going? What are you doing? What's going on? You know, and some of them were talking about Sherry and I getting married. And it was just all these different conversations. I almost imagine that's the way it was that night. These men are hungry. And there's the food. And they're eating it. And you know, guys are not all that gentle when they eat. Nor are they all that considerate when they eat. And they're probably belching and all kinds of things while they're eating. And Jesus makes two announcements. One is this: this bread you're eating represents my body, which is broken for you. This cup you're drinking is my blood. And it's going to be poured out for many. It's a new covenant. It's a new testament. So it brings me to a thought of how oftentimes we are like the disciples, distracted. We're distracted by what's going on in life. We're distracted by what's happening. We're distracted by what's going to happen. We're distracted by all these different things that are going on in our lives. And we miss sometimes in our distraction what Jesus is saying and what Jesus is doing. What are you distracted about today? Is it worry? Is it fear? Is it anger? Is it sorrow? Are you distracted by what's going on in our nation? Are you distracted by something that's going on in your family? Are you distracted by something that's going on in your health? Maybe you're feeling a little bit of distress today. Maybe there's some kind of family issue that's kind of captured your mind, captured your heart. My youngest grandson is playing tackle football, and Preston's probably 5 foot and maybe 80 pounds. And he's in sixth grade. And yesterday, his dad sent me a picture of, he said, "This is who Preston has to block." And lined up across from him, the guy looked like he ought to have been playing high school football. I mean, he was so much bigger than Preston. And I told Cherry, I said, "I'm glad I'm not there." You know, are you distracted by just something that seems insurmountable? Are you distracted about something that's going on in your health? Maybe you've got a doctor's appointment coming up. Maybe you have some tests coming up. Maybe you've been diagnosed and you're concerned about that. Or are you distracted about the future? You know, we have an election coming up in 13 months. Presidential election, Senate, House. It's going to get loud in the next 13 months. We have all kinds of stuff going on in our nation and in the world. So easy to get distracted. Those distractions are like the little child that you're trying to carry on an adult conversation, and they keep saying, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." And you say, "Shh, I'll get to you in just a minute." And they wait about 5 seconds, "Daddy, Daddy." And they start tapping your leg because they're saying, "Notice me." And that's the way our distractions are. We try to push them aside. We say, "I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to pay attention to that." And it's like that little child. "Daddy, Daddy, look at me. Pay attention to me. Watch what I'm doing. Give me your attention." You know, when our oldest son was a baby, he had to be fed first. Sean was born. When he was born, he weighed 11 pounds, 8.5 ounces, and he was 23 3/4 inches long, so he demanded food. When the first time I saw him, the nurse had him in her hand, and he's got his other hand in his mouth just to chewing on it. And really, he never stopped. But when he was a little boy, he had to be fed first. So if we came home from church or we got in from work, the first thing you had to do was feed Sean. And he could not understand time. He didn't understand it takes a moment for us to warm this up, to heat this up, to get this ready. He was in his high chair, banging on the high chair, screaming. He was ready to be fed. And then after we fed him and got him full, and it was time for us to eat, he was ready to play. It was like, I've got what I want. I want down from the high chair now. Or he would, you know, throw things off the high chair because he's like, it's time to play now. Maybe those issues in your life, they're banging on the table. And they're saying, notice me. Pay attention to me. I want your attention. I want you, you've got to resolve me. You've got to fix me. You've got to take care of me. And you've got to do it now because I'm demanding your full attention right now. And we bring that into church, or we bring that into our private, our quiet time. We bring that in when we open the Word. We bring that into our prayer time. And before long, our mind is on that. And our focus is on that. And that's what we're thinking about. And that's what we're zoomed in on. And that's what we're tuned into. And before long, we realize, oh my goodness, I have spent 15 minutes trying to solve this problem rather than praying, or rather than focusing on what I'm reading in the Word, or rather than in preparing my heart. So that leads us to the question then, how do I overcome distractions? And to give you a short answer, there is no easy answer to overcoming distractions. They keep knocking at the door. They keep banging on the window. They keep crying out for your attention. They keep saying, notice me, pay attention to me, listen to me, watch me, fix me. And oftentimes what I find is when I begin focusing in upon God, those voices get even louder. And now we're preparing our hearts to come to this altar and to receive the elements of communion, and maybe those distractions are increasing in volume. I'm reminded of the story, it's in the Gospel of Mark, beginning in chapter 5. It's the story of the woman with the issue of blood. And Mark tells us more about this woman than any of the other gospel writers. He doesn't tell us her name, but he tells us that she had spent all her living on doctors and was not better. This has been going on in her life for years. And because of this issue of blood that she had, she was considered to be unclean. And so there were certain things she could not do. She could not come into a crowd of people because she was considered to be unclean. They didn't know that maybe this was contagious, that they might get this as well. So she couldn't come around people. She could not touch a man, and a man could not touch her. She was, according to Jewish law, she was ceremonially unclean. So she could not touch a man, nor could she be touched by a man. She had to maintain a distance. But something in her triggers her with this thought: if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And so she begins to overcome the distractions in her life. The voices that tell her she's unclean, the voices that tell her she can't come near a crowd, the voices that tell her she cannot touch a man, the voices that tell her a man cannot touch her, the voices of condemnation, the voices of shame, the voices of why can't I get better? Why do I just keep getting worse? All those voices are clamoring for her attention and are yelling in her mind. But she makes this decision. The decision she makes is, I'm going to do whatever it takes to touch him. And Jesus is walking with a crowd of people, going to the home of Jairus to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. There's a large crowd of people around him, pushing and shoving and just kind of carrying. This whole crowd is just sort of moving forward. And somehow this woman, she's been hemorrhaging for 12 years, so you know she's weak, she's anemic, she's easily tired. She's not supposed to be in a crowd of people. She's known by these people as being that woman. She's not supposed to touch a man. She somehow presses through this crowd and reaches out with a hand and just touches the hem of his garment as he's walking by. She doesn't pull on it. She doesn't hold on to it. She doesn't stop Jesus because she's grabbed onto it so tightly. She just reaches out and touches it as it brushes by her hand. And of course, we know the story. Jesus stops. He said, "Who touched me?" And one of the disciples said, "Lord, everybody's touching you. They're shoving you. They're pushing you. They're reaching out to you." And Jesus said, "No, somebody touched me because I felt healing power go out." And the woman comes to Jesus and tells him what she has done. But I love what Mark says, that after that hem of Jesus' garment, that cloak that he was wearing, just brushed over her fingertips, it says immediately the flow of blood stopped. Instantaneously, she was healed. So how do I press through the distractions? How do I overcome the distractions in my life? And really, it is just a matter of just pressing through. It is a matter of just pressing through into the presence of Jesus. Even if it is just for a moment, just for a minute, just for 5 minutes, it is just pressing through to Jesus. So I'm going to encourage you, and I'm going to ask you, as we are preparing to come to this table, to take just a moment in prayer and tell the Lord, "Lord, here's what's got me distracted today. Here's what my focus is on right now. And I want to lay that aside and I want to turn my focus in upon you. I want to turn my eyes in upon you. I want you to be the center of my attention as I prepare to come to this table." So would you just bow your heads? Gracious Lord, you see all the things that so easily distract us, the voices that clamor for our attention. You see it all. Lord, today we have a choice to make. I can either keep my focus on that and miss what you're saying, or I can turn my attention to you and hear what you're saying. I can be like the disciples and just keep right on eating while Jesus is talking about his body being broken and his blood being poured out, and I can just miss it completely because I'm focused on what's right in front of me. Or else I can turn from what seems to be right in front of me and put my focus upon Jesus. Lord, today, I lay my distractions down because I desire to hear you, to hear your voice, to hear what you're saying to me today. Lord, whatever my attention is on, it can wait. It's not going to be solved within the next 15 minutes. It can wait. Lord, I turn my eyes, my heart, my mind, my thoughts, my spirit upon you. I will not allow the enemy of my soul to cause me to be so distracted that I miss what you're saying, that I miss what you're doing. So, Lord, we lay it down. As an act of our will, we lay it down. And we turn our focus and our attention upon you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your hymnal and you don't